baseball lifestyle. It's my lifestyle. Welcome, welcome to the Grounds Crew, a podcast covering all things baseball. We're brought to you by Baseball Lifestyle. Here are your hosts, Josh Shapiro and Tristan Maddie.
What's up, guys? It's Tristan back for episode 72 of the Grounds Crew podcast. Today is Wednesday, November 28th. The week after Thanksgiving, everybody went back to school, everybody went back to work a couple pounds heavier, and not ready to do any work. Hope you guys all had a happy and healthy holiday, and I hope you guys are ready for the holiday season, because it's here. And with that, I just want to say thank you, everyone, for all the Black Friday and Cyber Monday support you guys had. You guys really showed up and supported Baseball Lifestyle in the best way possible. I mean, you guys kept us busy. We were in the office all weekend, putting out orders, getting stuff out, because you guys just wanted Baseball Lifestyle, man. And we really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much. You guys have been supporting us for a long time now. You guys have been with us and helped us grow for a really long time, and it was just really special. It means a lot to everybody over at Baseball Lifestyle. So thank you guys very much. This was our third Black Friday, and we grow a little bit every year. You know, the first year, me and Josh, we were just shipping everything out from his basement. We were really overwhelmed. We didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. We were behind on orders and everything. It was just the two of us shipping everything out. And then next year, we kind of grew a little bit. And then this year, you know, spent the whole weekend in there. Tons of orders. We were getting out like 500, 600 orders out a day. And it was just, it was fun, you know. You normally work like that. It's laboring, but it means a lot. We were happy to do it. So thank you, everybody. And, you know, got a couple more weeks till Christmas. So I'm sure there'll be some good deals left to get if you didn't get your stuff already. Now, with that being said, what do you say we get into the news from around the big leagues? There was a ton of stuff that happened since the last time we talked, and that was 2 weeks ago, the week before Thanksgiving. You know, obviously, usually the off season starts to pick up around Christmas, the weeks leading up to Christmas, but it came a little bit earlier, and it was very slow. It was dead before that. We really were getting absolutely nothing. We got a lot. And I think we need to begin with the MVP awards. They got announced, I think, the day after the last podcast came out. So we obviously got to touch base on it. It's kind of old news, but got to give my opinions on things, and if you haven't heard for some reason, you'll hear on this. So, in the American League, Mookie Betts was announced as the winner of the award. He received 28 of the 30 first place votes, and Mookie was just an all-around force this year. I hated to see him win the award as a Yankee fan, but you really just couldn't argue any other player in the league was better than him. He really just did it all for this team, and he got the hardware for it. He racked the awards up. He got a third consecutive gold glove. He added another silver slugger award. I mean, he obviously led the Red Sox to a World Series, got that trophy, and now he's got the MVP trophy. So have yourself a year, Mookie Betts. He deserves it. He hit for a .346 average. And that went along with 32 home runs, 129 runs, 80 RBIs, and 30 stolen bases. That was all out of the leadoff spot. And he also had 10.9 wins above replacement and a 1.078 whip, OPS. Just great numbers. He beat out some really good players, but he definitely deserved it. He beat out Mike Trout. He beat out Jose Ramirez. He beat them all out by a sizable lead. JD Martinez, his teammate, came in fourth. That just goes to show you how great that team was. Mike Trout was great. He had another awesome year. Led the majors in OPS with a 1.088 and led the majors in on-base percentage. But he wasn't gypped this year. Mookie Betts, he definitely deserved it, and that's just the guys he beat out for the award is just a testament to how great he was this year. After coming in as the runner-up in 2016 to Mike Trout, he really stepped it up this year, deserved the award. Now, in the National League side of things, Christian Yelich took home the award after a stellar debut season with the Brewers. He was awesome. This was just so cool. He finally just took it up a notch from an underrated player to a major league superstar. Yelich was finally acknowledged for all the talent that he has. He garnered 29 of the 30 first place votes. He was just the fourth Brewer to ever win the award. And he just went on an absolute tear in the second half, and that's really what put him ahead in the lead for this award. He brought his stats up to a 326 average, 36 home runs, 110 ribbies. He achieved career highs in basically every offensive statistic. Batting average, on base percentage, slugging percentage, OPS, home runs, RBIs, stolen bases. This guy hit for the cycle twice, went 6-for-6 once this season. And he finished ahead of Javier Baez and Nolan Arenado for the award. I feel bad for Arenado because he always churns out these great seasons, but there's always just somebody a little bit better. And this year it was Christian Yelich. He was probably the best offense player in all of baseball this year. I know the Brewers gave up a lot to get him last offseason, but it's really looking like a steal. I mean, Christian Yelich, he's young, he's on a team-friendly deal, and he's just took it up another notch. He's one of the best players in baseball right now. Now, like I said, the offseason finally started to pick up. The market finally heated up. I believe the first deal was made just about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and that was the Yankees acquiring James Paxton in a trade with the Seattle Mariners. The Yankees got the 30-year-old lefty in exchange for top prospect Justice Sheffield and two other prospects, a pitcher and an outfielder. Paxton has some really great stuff, and he's one of the top-end rotation pitchers that the Yankees really needed to fortify that rotation with. I mean, they were just horrendous at times. They really didn't have a consistent option. I mean, Severino was great for the first half of the season. He looked like a real contender for the Cy Young Award, and then just fell off the wagon in the second half. Masahiro Tanaka, he is good. He had a good season, but he has his ups and downs, and sometimes he looks terrible, allowing home runs left and right. CeCe was good, but he's old. He's back into the rotation pitcher. Sonny Gray, terrible. But J-Hat, he was pretty good once they got him. But like I said, James Paxton really needed him. He's a great pitcher. Went 11-6 with a 3.76 ERA and 208 strikeouts in 28 starts last year. The ERA, not great, but, you know, it's not the biggest judgment factor. And he threw a no-hitter this year. Against the Blue Jays, decent lineup. Not the slugfest that they had a couple years back, but still a decent lineup. And anytime a guy goes out and throws a no-hitter, he has to have some pretty good stuff to go and do that. He's also on a pretty team-friendly deal, and he seems very excited for the opportunity. He's had very good things to say about going to the Yankees. Very excited. Wants to play for a winning team. A lot of tradition, all that stuff you hear about when somebody goes to the Yankees usually, but he seems like he means it. The only concern with him for the Yankees should be his injury history. He's had a little bit of a tough time staying healthy over the years, and this deal's not going to do much for them if he can't stay on the field. Nonetheless, though, I think it's a really good move for the Yankees. Justice Sheffield, he's a really good prospect. He was a former first-round pick. He's 22 years old. He had a 2.48 ERA in 25 games across Double and AAA this year. He's got really good stuff, real nice stuff. But he's going to take a couple years, and that's not what the Yankees need right now. They're pretty close to having a World Series roster. They had 100 wins this past season, and they need pitching. That was one of the big holes for them this past year. So I think it's a good move. And I don't think they're done yet. I think they're going to stay aggressive on plenty of the big names out there. Obviously, Patrick Corbin. They're going to do their due diligence on Manny Machado. But definitely going to add more pitching. I think that's not all that we'll see the Yankees do. Now, speaking of the Mariners, who just traded James Paxton, they're looking to deal Robinson Cano as well. And it appears they've already started to rebuild two kind of fire sale by trading Paxton and also Mike Zunino, who went to the Tampa Bay Rays. But now it looks like they're ready to get rid of Robinson Cano. And it makes sense if they're a rebuilding team. They don't need this veteran 36-year-old with a huge contract that can still hit in the middle of the lineup. That's not what their kind of team they are right now. He hasn't shown any signs of slowing down just yet. He was batting 300 this year when he played. Obviously, he missed a chunk of the season with the suspension. But still very talented player. Robinson Cano, he's still a star in this league. It's just his contract is so much that it's going to be tough to give that deal to somebody. He's going to be getting paid $24 million at 40, 41 years old. That contract, it stays the same. It doesn't go down. He's getting paid the same amount of money each year. Get somebody to take a contract like that where it's an aging player, paying him a chunk of your payroll. It's going to be tough to get somebody to put that on their books. Plus, he's got a full no-trade clause, so he could kind of control where he goes if they are able to find somebody, find a suitor. They've already contacted the Yankees and the Mets. I would love it just because I loved Cano as a Yankee. They were kind of setting the stage for him to take over that leader role once Derek Jeter retired, but he decided to go elsewhere. I was very upset about it. You know, Cano is my guy. But things happen. It's a business. I don't think it makes sense for the Yankees now. They're a younger team. They don't need to take a contract like that. And where is he going to play? You got Giancarlo already in the DH spot. You got Glaber at second base. And then you also have Luke Voit, Greg Bird over at first base. A little bit of young projects. I don't think you give up on either of them yet. Obviously, we just saw what Luke Voit could do. Got to give him more of an opportunity. So where are you going to play Robinson Cano? You're going to be paying him $40 million or $24 million to sit on the bench? Nah, that's not going to happen. Mets, they got a couple young guys coming up that play second base, so I expect them to give them the opportunity. They're kind of in a rebuild, so not the kind of player they want on their roster. I think they got to give these guys an opportunity. So I think it'll be a while before you see Robinson Cano get traded. Something we won't be waiting for a while, though, is Josh Donaldson to sign with the team, because he just signed with the Atlanta Braves, and so did Brian McCann. Atlanta inked the former MVP to a one-year deal worth $23 million. It's a pretty solid amount of money, but one-year deal, it's very safe for both sides. The 32-year-old, he had a really down year this season. He was riddled by injuries. He missed more than 3 months of the season. Robbed him a lot of money because, you know, this was supposed to be that big free agent class where guys were going to just throw out money. Josh Donaldson, former MVP, third baseman, big bat, going to get a big deal. It's not what happens. I mean, the past two seasons, he's kind of been hurt by injuries. Still had a solid year, 2017, but missed a lot of time. This short deal, it allows him to show he's still that same player. And it gives the Braves the ability to kind of just let him go if it doesn't work out. Or he can't stay healthy. They're not locked into Josh Donaldson. So it works out for both sides. Hopefully he's the same player. He can get a big contract next year. Because Josh Donaldson, he always seems like one of those cool guys in the MLB. He seems like a bro. And it also gives the Braves a nice bat in the middle of that order to pair up with Freddie Freeman. So that order is looking pretty dangerous now. You got Ozzie Albies, you got Ronald Acuna, now you got Freddie Freeman, now you add Josh Donaldson to that. And that's looking pretty good for a team that just made the playoffs and won the National League East. And like I said, they also agreed to a one-year deal with their former catcher, Brian McCann. McCann played with them from 2005 to 2013, and he went to 7 All-Star games with the team. He is a native of Atlanta, so he was really excited to return home to his family. That's pretty cool. Little incentive to that signing. But he also experienced a shortened season this past year due to injuries. The main reasoning for bringing him back to Atlanta is leadership, but he's going to split some catching time with Tyler Flowers. I think it's a good move for them. They need some veteran presence in that locker room. It's a very young team, very up-and-coming team. It's a good move. He said it feels right, and for me, it just feels right as well. Happy to see him go back to the ATL. The Braves are making all the right moves to take control of that division. And that's something the Mets might not be able to say for the same division. The Mets are receiving plenty of interest in ace Noah Syndergaard. The Metropolitans are reportedly seriously considering trading Noah Syndergaard, trading Thor. And John Heyman reported that at least a half dozen teams are believed to be real players for Noah Syndergaard. He also said that the Mets would be looking to fill multiple holes with real impact. And let's face it, the Mets have a ton of holes. They have holes at catching, the bullpen, a little bit in the outfield. Yoenis Cespedes and Jay Bruce can't seem to stay healthy. And it looks like it's going to be another rebuild for the Mets. But Noah Syndergaard, he's 26 years old. You better be getting an absolute haul for this guy. And it sounds like the Padres won't trade Fernando Tatis Jr. for him. So if you can't get a guy like that for him, I don't know if you trade him. Unless you do. Because Syndergaard has some of the best upside in the league. He probably has the best raw stuff as a pitcher. I mean, this guy throws 100, 101 easy. He's got a great slider, good changeup. He's got good, really just good stuff. Perfect pitcher's frame. The injuries kind of have some question marks, but he still made 25, 26 starts this past year. I don't know. I don't know if I would do it. Maybe that's because I'm in New York and Noah Syndergaard are so entrenched with the Mets brand. But the Mets have done dumb things before, so who knows? We could probably see them do it. As of right now, it doesn't sound like they will, but I wouldn't be that surprised. And just like the Mets are considering trading their ace, the San Francisco Giants are doing the same thing. They're reportedly open to trading Madison Bumgarner. John Paul Morosi reported that the Giants are willing to enter trade talks regarding the ace and that they've already talked to the Phillies and the Brewers. Obviously, it's not something they want to do. Madison Bumgarner is basically a legend in San Francisco. He's won 2 World Series, been there his whole career. But the Giants are desperately in a need to restructure. I mean, they just need to face the facts. Last year, we saw them go out and buy a bunch of players. They went out and got Evan Longoria. They got Andrew McCutchen, got some guys in the bullpen, but it just didn't really fix the holes that they had. This team wasn't really a playoff contender. They were one of the worst teams in baseball the year before, and you get some aging players who were kind of past their primes and kind of tried to pass that off as a good team. It really wasn't. They traded some of their pieces. They traded McCutchen, but I think this team just really needs to start over. And by trading Madison Bumgarner, you're going to get a lot of pieces for what's been a lackluster farm system of late. I mean, it sucks. He signed a very team-friendly deal before the 2012 season because he wanted to stay in San Francisco. But this is going to be the last year of that deal anyway. I think he at least tests the free agent market. He probably wants to stay in San Francisco because he's kind of a weird dude. But he's one of the best pitchers. I think you got to see what you could get for him. In the 200 starts since signing that deal, he's gone 90-64 with a 3.02 ERA. And like I said, he won the 2 World Series. And he's just 29 years old. He's one of the best. No injury questions. He kind of just had 2 freak injuries the past year, past 2 years. So I think you could get a haul for this guy, and I think the Giants have to do. So I think that's all we got for today. A lot of good stuff we got to talk about. I'm sure there'll be plenty of more good stuff in the next coming weeks. Thank you guys for listening, and I'll see you next week.
And that right there was the Grounds Crew, brought to you by Baseball Lifestyle.